Hello and welcome to Show Tunes with Kate Botello from Interlochen Public Radio. Coming up, foodies, take note. We've got a smorgasbord of food-related tunes coming your way. Then, some odes to the trials and joys of being alive. At intermission, musical director Brian Nash stops by to tell us a story about one of his fascinating gigs with a Broadway legend. And in Act Two, we'll hear some not-so-happily-ever-afters. Lights are dimming in our virtual house, and the orchestra is warming up for the overture, which is also food-related as it comes from the opening sequence to Oliver. Please, silence your cell phones, but go ahead and unwrap your noisy snacks. It'll be a fitting background for the music. That was the overture and opening sequence to Lionel Bart's 1960 Dickensian musical, Oliver. That was from our collection of original vinyl recordings. So now that you're good and hungry, we'll have a full course meal of music. We'll start with a fish course from The Little Mermaid, served with a side of corn, an Oklahoma send-up from the musical of musicals, The Musical, and then we'll head straight to the dessert table and double up with And the World Goes Round and She Loves Me for pie and ice cream.
Les poissons, how I love les poissons. Love to jump and to serve little fish. First I cut off their heads, then I pull out their bones. Ah mais oui, ça c'est toujours délish. Les poissons, oh, 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 with a cleaver I hack them in two. I pull out what's inside and I serve it up fried. God, I love little fishes, don't you? Here's something for tempting the palate, prepared in the classic technique. First you pound the fish flat with a mallet, then you slash through the skin, give the belly a slice, then you rub some salt in.
'Cause that makes it taste nice.
Tout à l'heure, I have missed one.
Shh. Sacre bleu.
What is this? How on earth could I miss such a sweet little succulent crab?
Quel dommage, what a loss.
You belong in the sauce with some flour. I sing just the dab.
Then I stuff you with bread.
It won't hurt, you'll be dead.
And you'll surely be lucky you are, 'cause it's gonna be hot, ooh la la la, in my big copper pot.
Tout à l'eau, mon poisson.
Au revoir!
The earth spins around like a carousel. On bright clouds of music we fly. The cattle plie in a dreamy ballet. It's normal as blueberry pie. Oh, what beautiful calm. What beautiful, beautiful calm. The wind whispers secrets. The field is all ears. Oh, what beautiful calm. Morning, Miss Abby.
Morning, Big Willie.
Farming the land is the life for me. It calls me and I can't say no. But I'll gladly forsake any shovel or rake. I'm in love with a wonderful home. Oh, what beautiful corn. What beautiful, beautiful corn. I said it before and I'll say it again. Oh, what beautiful corn. Oh, the critters are having a field day. That donkey's hee-hawing with glee. A gaggle of geese are a-giggling. Hush up, you hyena, stop laughing at me. Oh, the chipmunk is reading the Bible. Well, now there's a remarkable thought. Guess he learned it the same way a lark learns to pray. He's gotta be carefully taught. Oh, what beautiful corn. What beautiful, beautiful corn. What's this in my tooth? It's a kernel of truth. Shucks, what beautiful corn. What beautiful, 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 calm.
There's a lady living somewhere. Where it is, I do not know. But I long to write and tell her that I love her so. I believe I might do mayhem. Yes, I might destroy myself if I ever found her missing from my grocer's shelf. Sara Lee. Sara Lee. Your brioche just fractures me. Give me a taste of your cherry Danish. I love my mother, but you can't compare her, not with Sara Lee. Sara Lee. There's no H, just Sara Lee, and that's okay by me, 'cause I'm living in paradise when I'm nibbling apple spice from the kitchens of the one I love, the wonderful Sara Lee. And it thrills me right to my soul when I'm chewing your finger roll, and I'm crying for goodness sake, there never been a better banana cake. Cousin Milton works at the Hilton. He caters banquets, and at each affair he'll swear by
Sara Lee.
I really know what you mean,
Sara Lee.
Honey, those brownies are obscene. Drop that H. Say, Sara.
Sara.
Lee, and that's okay by me. I love your cheesecake, white as pearl. Not to mention your chocolate swirl from the kitchens of the one I love. Wonderful Sara, beautiful Sara.
So sorry about last night. It was a nightmare in every way. But together you and I will laugh at last night someday. Ice cream. He brought me ice cream. Vanilla ice cream. Imagine that, ice cream. And for the first time, we were together without a spat. Friendly, he was so friendly. That isn't like him, I'm simply stunned. Will wonders never cease? Will wonders never cease? It's been the most peculiar day. Will wonders never cease? Wonders never cease. Oh, where was I? I am so sorry about last night. It was a nightmare in every way, but together you and I will laugh at last night someday. I sat there waiting in that cafe and never guessing that you were fat. Ooh. That you were near. You were outside looking bald. Oh, no. Dear friend, I am so sorry about last night. Last night, I was so nasty. Well, he deserved it, but even so, that George is not like this George. This is a new George that I don't know. Somehow it all reminds me of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. When right before my eyes a man that I despise has turned into a man I like. It's almost like a dream, and strange as it may seem, he came to offer me.
Benanti has her priorities in order with Vanilla Ice Cream from the 2016 revival of the 1963 show She Loves Me by Sheldon Harnick and Jerry Bock. Now, She Loves Me recently did the first ever live web stream of a Broadway production, and it went great, except for a slight ice cream malfunction. During the song, it fell off the wooden spoon right onto Laura Benanti's pajamas. Now, she handled it like the pro she is, of course, so it just wound up being adorable. And she won the 2016 Tony for Best Lead Actress in a Musical, so well worth it. Before that, Liza Minnelli sang her rendition of Sara Lee from her 1992 Radio City Music Hall concert. That song came from And the World Goes Round, a 1991 review of Liza's favorite composers, Kander and Ebb. Craig Foles gave us Oh, What Beautiful Corn from the 2003 parody The Musical of Musicals, The Musical, by Joanne Bogart and Eric Rockwell. What's this in my tooth? It's a kernel of truth. I love that show. And our entree, a full seafood course served by John Tracy Egan, Le Poisson, from the 2008 Broadway version of The Little Mermaid by Alan Menken, Howard Ashman, and Glenn Slater. And now, three people bursting with life and dying to sing about it. First, aging diva Margot Channing gets a boost when she visits fans in a Greenwich Village bar in applause. From Next to Normal, Diana's son Gabe, who died many years ago but lives on in her imagination, insists on his own reality with I'm Alive. And then we'll hear a rare recording of Being Alive from Company.
I feel groggy and weary and tragic, punchy and bleary and fresh out of magic, but alive, but alive, but alive. I feel twitchy and busy and manic, calm and collected and choking with panic, but alive, but alive, but alive. I'm a thousand different people, every single one is real. I've a million different feelings, okay, but at least I feel. And I feel rotten, you're covered with roses, younger than springtime and older than Moses. Frisky as a lamb,
la, la, la.
Lazy as a clown,
la, la, la.
Crazy, but I am alive. Firm as Gibraltar and shaky as Jell-O, but alive, but alive, but alive. I feel half Tijuana, half Boston, partly Jane Fonda and partly Jane Austen, but alive. That's the thing, but alive. This kaleidoscope of feelings whirls around inside my brain. I admit I'm slightly cuckoo, but it's dull to be too sane. And I feel brilliant and brash and bombastic, limp as a puppet and simply fantastic, but alive, but alive, but alive.
She's here, right here.
I am what you want me to be, and I'm your worst fear. You'll find it in me. Come closer, come closer. I am more than memory. I am what might be. I am mystery. You know me, so show me. When I appear, it's not so clear if I'm a simple spirit or I'm flesh and blood. But I'm alive, I'm alive, I am so alive. And I feed on the fear that's behind your eyes. And I need you to need me, it's no surprise. Darkest nightmare too. I've shown you I own you. And though you made me, you can't change me. I'm a perfect stranger who knows you too well. I'm alive, I'm alive, I am so alive. And I'll tell you the truth if you let me try.
Someone to hold you too close, someone to hurt you too deep, someone to sit in your chair to ruin your sleep.
That's true, but there's more than that.
Is that all you think there is to it?
You've got so many reasons for not being with someone, but Robert, you haven't one good reason for being alone.
Come on, you're onto something, Bobby. You're onto something.
Someone to need you too much. Someone to know you too well. Someone to pull you up short, to put you through hell.
You see what you look for, you know.
You're not a kid anymore, Robbie. I don't think you'll ever be a kid again, kiddo.
Hey, buddy, don't be afraid that it won't be perfect. The only thing to be afraid of really is that it won't be.
Don't stop now. Keep going.
Someone you have to let in. Someone whose feelings you spare. Someone who, like it or not, will want you to share a little, a lot.
And what does all that mean?
Robert, how do you know so much about it when you've never been there?
It's much better living it than looking at it, Robert.
Add him up, Bobby, add him up.
Someone to crowd you with love. Someone to force you to care. Someone to make you come through, who'll always be there, as frightened as you of being alive. Being alive. Being alive. Being alive.
candles, Robert, and make a wish. Want something. Want something.
Somebody hold me too close. Somebody hurt me too deep. Somebody sit in my chair and ruin my sleep and make me aware of being alive, being alive. Somebody need me too much. Somebody know me too well. Somebody pull me up short and put me through hell and give me support for being alive. Make me alive. Make me alive. Make me confused. Mock me with praise. To care. Somebody make me come through. I'll always be there, as frightened as you, to help us survive. Being alive. Being alive. Being
The original cast recording of Stephen Sondheim's 1970 musical Company features Dean Jones as Bobby, but shortly after the show opened, he was replaced by the actor we just heard, Larry Kurt, who was nominated for a Tony for the role. And before that, we heard Aaron Tveit as Diana's sort of imaginary son Gabe with I'm Alive from Next to Normal, the 2009 musical by Tom Kitt and Brian Yorkey. And we kicked off our tribute to life with Lauren Bacall in the 1970 musical adaptation of All About Eve, Applause by Charles Strauss and Lee Adams. Lights are coming up in our virtual house and the intermission chime has rung. So let's head out to the lobby to visit with our friend Brian J. Nash. Now, Brian has a really interesting career as a musical director. He's worked in any kind of theater you can think of with an incredible variety of people, and he paid us a visit this summer.
So, Brian Nash, your many fascinating gigs, you musical direct for many, many singers.
Many, many a singer.
Like, let's have a list because I love your laundry list because they're so different.
Andy Bell of Erasure, Manny Gonzalez of Broadway's Wicked, Natalie Douglas, cabaret performer extraordinaire, Lena Hall, Laura Benanti, Tanya Pinkins,
Kathy Najimy. Love that one.
Yeah, we're working on her solo show right now. There's a lot, and it kind of goes all different directions.
It does, but there's one particularly interesting direction. You worked with the Patty.
Dear Ms. Lapone. I was performing on and music directing on a I music direct all of the Atlantis cruises, which are vacations targeted for the LGBT community. And Patty was headlining on them. And there was one, this particular performance, she wanted to have a choir backing her up. So they asked my friend Natalie Joy Johnson, with whom I work, she's in Broadway's Kinky Boots, to come in and guest and kind of be ringers in the backup ensemble. And we were rehearsing, and Patty then wanted to see how everyone would get from the house onto the stage to back her up. So she said, okay, I'll finish Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. I'll have everyone, like, you know, in the house. I'll call you guys up on stage, and then we'll form a semicircle around the piano. So let's practice that. Everybody out into the house. And while we were all on the house getting ready to come up, Patty's alone on stage with a microphone, and a random guy comes storming up the aisle of the theater on this cruise ship. Mind you, this cruise ship was like 5-star luxury. Everything, you know, the chef's name was embedded in the bread rolls on the table. It was ridiculous. Like if you looked at them cross-eyed, they'd throw a lobster at you and just eat this. So Patty is alone on stage. He's holding a cordless mic, and this guy storms up the aisle and walks up to her and is like, "Is this the meeting?" She's like, "Well, the meeting." He's like, "To complain about the service." Rage just filling his face. And Patty, Broadway legend Patty LuPone, just looks down at him and is like, "No." So he storms back up off the next aisle. Patty is just looking at us like, "What was that?" Natalie and I go up to Patty after the rehearsal breaks. We're like, "What was that?" She's like, "I don't know, but I really wanted to say yes. I wanted to know what was so wrong with him." I'm like, "Patricia, did John Houseman teach you nothing at Juilliard?" "Yes, and," to your scene partner. "Just always find out what's going on. You know, don't shut it down." Next day, we're talking about this moment. We're filling in another one of our friends on the beach in Bora Bora. We're in Tahiti. Like, nothing could possibly be wrong. We're like, what could be wrong with this guy? Like, it was, everything was perfect. What could we be so angry about? And so we decided, like, you know, "Ooh, Patty, Patty, my bed feels like a soft cloud, Patty, fix it." And the fact that he thought that Patty LuPone was a random cruise ship employee who was taking the headlining the daily complaint meeting that they're going to have in the theater. So that it spawned kind of a verbal meme that, you know, in Natalie's show that night, she told the story. And then we started, you know, doing Patty LuPone complaints. Whenever your life is too fabulous, go complain to Patty LuPone. "Patty, my belly is too full of lobsters, Patty. Patty, the sea is the exact temperature of my body. It's too temperate, Patty. Fix it." So then the final night, we're performing, and Natalie tells the story again, because now everybody's going around the entire ship going, "Patty, these desserts are too delicious. It's too scrumptious, Patty." So Natalie tells the story. Patty's there and is in the back cackling and is going, "Patty." So now it's the thing. Now, if ever your life is too fabulous, just complain to Patty LuPone about it, because she'll fix it. She knows how.
Please call our Patty LuPone Complaint Hotline, otherwise known as the Interlochen Public Radio Comment Line, at 1-800-276-4444 and leave yours now. That's the Patty LuPone Complaint Hotline, 1-800-276-4444. Now, how would that work for this show? "Patty, my subject matter's too interesting. Patty, our vinyl vault contains too many treasures from historical musicals. Patty." What can Patty fix for you? Let us know.
I'm their savior. That's what they call me. So rather call me. Anything goes to make me fantastic.
So you do a lot of work playing other people's music.
Yes.
And singing other people's music and doing all of those things. And now you finally have an album of thy very own.
I do, which is something I thought would never, ever really happen, because I'm not a writer. I don't consider myself a writer. I do a lot of arrangements and reinterpretations, but the opportunity presented itself suddenly to record an album. And I made a list of 719 songs and gently started scaling it back. And by the time I kind of cut it down to a manageable, like, okay, I think we're getting close. I think we're at like 15. I want it to be 12. There was kind of an outline of a story there. And it actually kind of ends up weirdly telling the story of a relationship from the beginning to the end of it, and kind of the aftermath and kind of interstitial stuff. It kind of became a random concept album of songs that already existed.
Let's talk about where in your story, where does Marry Me a Little come in?
Marry Me a Little actually comes in. I had, previous to the kind of story of the relationship on the record, been in another relationship for a long time. And even though we'd been together for 8 years, that never happened. And I was like, well, maybe that's just not what I do. Maybe I'm not the marrying kind. And then suddenly in this particular relationship, it was like, oh no, that's clearly where that should happen. So it's kind of coming to terms with the idea of how I would function in a kind of marital-esque relationship. And then finally deciding, oh no, I actually do really want that and crave that.
Marry me a little, love me just enough. Cry but not too often, play but not too rough. Keep a tender distance, so we'll both be free. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready, marry me a little, do it with a will. Make a few demands I'm able to fulfill. Want me more than others, not exclusively. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready now. You can be my best friend. I can be your right arm. We'll go through a fight or two. No harm, no harm. We'll look not too deep. We'll go not too far. We won't have to give up a thing. We'll stay who we are. Right. Okay then. I'm ready. I'm ready now. Someone. Marry me a little. Love me just enough. Warm and sweet and easy, just the simple stuff. Keep a tender distance, so we'll both be free. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready, marry me a little. Body, heart and soul. Passionate as hell, but always in control. Want me first and foremost, keep me company. That's the way it ought to be. I'm ready. I'm ready now. Oh, how gently we'll talk. Oh, how softly. Ugly things we'll keep unsaid. We'll build a cocoon of love and respect. You promise whatever you like, I'll never collect. Right. Okay then.
There goes the intermission chime, so we'll say thanks to Brian for hanging out, and thanks to Patti LuPone for interceding on our behalf. Let's head into the house for Act Two. Now, a lot of musical theater involves some kind of star-crossed romance, and the plot of many shows is about how to get some crazy kids together for a happy ending. Now, the thing is, though, surprise, surprise, that's not always totally realistic. We're about to hear from three shows in which things after Happily Ever After aren't. We'll start with Matt and Louisa getting on each other's last nerve after a triumphant romantic moment in The Fantastics. Next, we'll hear Cunegonda, the old lady and the governor of Buenos Aires, go stir-crazy in Candide. Then, pretty much everybody in Into the Woods wants to throttle everybody else.
Their moon was cardboard, fragile. It was very apt to fray. And what was last night scenic may seem cynic by today. The play's not done. Oh no, not quite. For life never ends in the moonlit night. And despite what pretty poets say, the night is only half the day. So we would like to truly finish what was foolishly begun. For the story is not ended, and the play is never done until we've all of us been burned a bit. Burnished by the sun.
This plum is too ripe.
Sorry. Please don't watch me while I'm eating.
Sorry.
You are about to drown that magnolia.
Sorry. My kumquat!
Sorry!
Plum is too ripe.
Sorry!
Hot, isn't it?
No.
It was cold yesterday, wasn't it?
No.
It'll rain tonight, won't it?
Wherever you are, it's raining all the time.
What's the matter, lady?
I am homesick.
For where?
For everywhere but here. I've tried so hard to remember. Do I move toward you or away from you?
Away from me, if possible.
No doubt you think I'm giving in to petulance and malice. But in candor, I am forced to say that I'm sick of gracious living in this stuffy little palace. And I wish that I could leave today. I have suffered a lot, and I'm certainly not unaware that this life has its black side. I have starved in the ditch, I've been burned for a witch, and I'm missing the half of my backside. I've been beaten and whipped and repeatedly stripped. I've been forced into all kinds of whoredom. But I'm finding of late that the very worst fate is to perish of comfort and boredom.
Quiet.
It was 3 years ago, as you very well know, that you said we would soon have a wedding. Every day you forget what you promised, and yet you continue to rumple my bedding. I'll no longer bring shame on my family name. I would rather lie down and be buried. No, I'll not lead the life of an unwedded wife. Tell me, when are we going to be married?
Quiet.
I was once what is more nearly sawed in four by a specially clumsy magician. And you think I would feel after such an ordeal that there's charm in my present position. But I'd far rather be in a tempest at sea or a bloody North African riot than to sit in this dump on what's left of my rock and put up with this terrible quiet.
Quiet.
It's because of you there's a giant in our midst and my wife is dead.
But it isn't my fault. I was given those beans. You persuaded me to trade away my cow for beans. And without those beans, there'd have been no stalk to get up to the giants in the first place.
Wait a minute, magic beans for a cow so old that you had to tell a lie to sell it, which you told. Were they worthless beans? Were they oversold? Oh, and tell us who persuaded you to steal that gold.
See, it's your fault.
No.
So it's your fault.
No.
Yes, it is.
It's not.
It's true.
Wait a minute, but I only stole the gold to get my cow back from you.
So it's your fault.
Yes.
No, it isn't. I'd have kept those beans, but our house was cursed. She made us get a cow to get the curse reversed.
It's your father's fault that the curse got placed and the place got cursed in the first place. Oh, then it's his fault.
It was his fault.
No. Yes, it is. It's his.
I guess.
Wait a minute, though. I chopped down the beanstalk, right? That's clear. But without any beanstalk, then what's queer is how did the second giant get down here in the first place? Second place.
Yeah, how?
Well, who had the other bean?
The other bean.
The other bean.
You pocketed the other bean.
I didn't. Yes, I did.
So it's yours.
No, it isn't, because I gave it to my wife.
So it's hers.
No, it isn't.
Then who is it?
Wait a minute. She exchanged that bean to obtain your shoe. So the one who knows what happened to the bean is you.
You mean that old bean that your wife? Oh dear, but I never knew, and so I did. Well, don't look here.
So it's your fault.
See, it's her fault.
But you
didn't. And it isn't mine at all.
But what?
Well, if you hadn't gone back up again.
We were needy.
We were greedy. Did you need that hair?
But I got it from my mother.
So it's her fault then.
Yes, but what about the harp in the third place?
The harp, yes. Wait, you dared me to.
I dared you to?
You dared me to. She said that I was scared to. She dared.
No, I
so it's your fault.
Wait a minute.
You hadn't dared him to.
And you had left the harp alone. It wouldn't
be in
trouble
away
in the first place.
In the first place.
She hadn't raised it in the first place.
Yes, she hadn't raised it
in the first place. It's
in the first place.
It's your fault. You're responsible. You're the one to blame. It's your fault.
Did you? Had to get your prince, had to get your cow. Have to get your wish, doesn't matter how. Anyway, it doesn't matter now. It's the last midnight. It's the boom splat. Nothing but a last midnight. Everybody smashed flat. Nothing we can do, not exactly true. We can always give her the boy. No, no, of course what really matters is the blame. Somebody to blame. Fine, if that's the thing you enjoy, placing the blame. If that's the aim, give me the blame. Just give me the boy.
No.
No. You're so nice. You're not good, you're not bad, you're just nice. I'm not good, I'm not nice, I'm just right. I'm the witch, you're the world. I'm the hitch, I'm what no one believes. I'm the witch. You're all liars and thieves, like his father, like his son will be too. Oh, why bother? You'll just do what you do. It's the last midnight, so goodbye, all. Coming at you fast, midnight. Soon you'll see the sky fall. Here you want a bean, have another bean. Beans were made for making you rich. Plant them and they soar. Here you want some more. Listen to the roar, giants by the score. Well, you can blame another witch. It's the last midnight. It's the last verse. Now before it's past midnight, I'm leaving you my last curse. I'm leaving you alone. You can tend the garden, it's yours, separate and alone. Everybody down on all fours. All right, mother, when? Lost the beans again. Punish me the way you did then. Give me claws and a hunch. Just away from this bunch. And the gloom, and the doom, and the boom.
Everything works out great for everyone in Stephen Sondheim's 1987 fairy tale musical, Into the Woods. Spoiler alert. Until Act Two. So if you want sunshine and rainbows, bail after Act One. Subverting the happily ever after trope is pretty much the entire point of the show. Now, Bernadette Peters' witch was well over it as she sang The Last Midnight, preceded by Your Fault, in which, naturally, everything is everyone else's fault. Now, before that, once the heat of romance is past, boredom is a killer for Barbara Cook, Ira Pitina, and William Ulvis in Candide by Leonard Bernstein. Now, that show has a pile of lyricists, by the way. Bernstein and Sondheim wrote some of them, along with Richard Wilbur, John Latouche, Lillian Hellman, and Dorothy Parker. We started out with Hugh Thomas, Kenneth Nelson, Rita Gardner, and William Larson complaining in This Plum Is Too Ripe from the 1960 musical The Fantastics by Harvey Schmidt and Tom Jones. That recording was from our vinyl vault. And now it's time to end the show with tonight's finale. We'll finish the way we started, with the end of Oliver.
Thank you.
was the finale to Oliver, with music and lyrics by Lionel Bart. The curtain falls, the crowd goes wild, the house lights come up, and we come to the end of another episode of Show Tunes with Kate Botello. That's me. Find all our episodes online at interlochenpublicradio.org. Many thanks to Brian Nash for coming by, and don't forget to send us your issues for the Patti LuPone Complaint Line. Michael Culler engineered the show. Meg Gruitz was our supervising producer. This is Interlochen Public Radio. See you in the aisles.